Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And happy Labor Day. Here we are just getting ready to ending the summer, ending our time of vacation. Those of you who are listening to the program outside the United States, today is a national holiday in our country. So I hope those of you who are in the country have an opportunity to rest and be with your family. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off last week, which is in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're beginning, anyway, that letter. St. Paul wrote a letter to this community, not a community that he himself founded, but a community that he is helping shepherd through someone who is a disciple of his, Epaphras. And Paul's addressing some very important things. I'm so glad to be able to just lean into this passage, these passages this week. Paul, one of the central themes of this letter is the supremacy of Christ, the absolute uniqueness of the person of Jesus, the only Savior of the world, the one in whom all power in heaven and earth has been given. There's no comparison. There's no religious leader. There's no other God. There's no one like Jesus, no one like Jesus Christ, the one who St. Paul says eventually every knee will bow and every tongue will confess this truth to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we're going to unpack some of what St. Paul says today. He begins in Colossians 1:24. Today it says, "Brothers and sisters, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Boy, there's a lot being said here by St. Paul. There's a mystery here in itself. And that's Paul now is a member of the body of Christ. As we who are baptized into Christ are members of his body, we're one with Christ, who is the head. And Paul wants to communicate to them the reality of his suffering for the sake of the gospel. One, because that's normal. It's normal. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing if that suffering is lived and united to the sufferings of Jesus. The Lord loves to include his disciples, his faithful ones, his friends into his saving work. Now, Paul says, he makes up for what's lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Clearly, he doesn't mean there's anything lacking in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The merits of what Jesus accomplished there are infinite, right? There's nothing incomplete about Jesus' sacrifice. It's totally sufficient, and his sacrifice has infinite value, so much so that it will redound for all eternity. It'll save everyone who turns their heart to Jesus. So what does he mean here? What he's saying is that we who are united to Jesus can apply the merits that are won by Christ that we share in now in his body in our own sufferings by uniting and communicating those sufferings to brothers and sisters who are in the body or those who are attempting to reach with the gospel. That the Lord allows us to both the suffering in our lives to have profound meaning, in other words. And Jesus, because we're united to him, because we're now living in him, because we're united to his passion, we now, as one body, can deal with really one of the great troubles in this world, which is that suffering has no meaning, has no purpose, has no value, and should be avoided at all costs. The mind of the world can't make room for any meaning to be found ultimately in suffering. And it's to be avoided at all costs. So here we understand that suffering, especially suffering for the gospel, can be an expression both of profound love for Christ, can be a source of great purification in our own lives. And by uniting it, offering it to Jesus, the sufferings in our life, and the saints show us this, we know it deeply in our own lives, is that the suffering can purify us. And at the same time, the value of suffering comes from the fact that Christ himself suffered, and his suffering saved the world, and he allows our suffering to be united to his. And because of that reality, we can literally offer it for the sake of others as well. And it's just such a tremendous grace and opportunity. So this is what Paul is getting at very clearly. And Christ's passion as well, St. Augustine said that Christ's passion is continued in his body throughout history as we unite ourselves to him. So the merits of Jesus and Jesus' suffering continue to be poured out into the world. And those who have been identified with him, those who are united to him, those who are literally one with him and now living from the source of new life that's in Jesus, our head, as he continues to bring life through the merits of his suffering to the world, we then are allowed, we're drawn into it, and our little suffering is united to the infinite suffering, the meaning of Christ's power, the infinite meaning of his power in that suffering, to be able to bring about grace, to be a source of grace in the world, not just for ourselves, but for those who the Lord brings into our lives. And for people in purgatory, people who are living today, it's an amazing reality that Paul is touching here. He said, so what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God. Paul's ministry is what? To help those who he leads to understand and to know the full meaning of the word of God. That is the scriptures, the teaching of our Lord, the teaching of the apostles, and to know the Lord himself. He'll go on to say, understand the mystery that was hidden from ages and from generations past. The word of God reveals this mystery. What is the mystery? First of all, the mystery of the Trinity, the mystery of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the mystery of the saving action of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Salvation and the salvation of souls, the Great Commission, this is God the Father's idea. This is the work that begins in the heart of a loving Father, the great mystery that for God so loved the world that he's giving his only Son. The eternal Son of God takes on human flesh. The mystery of the incarnation and the purpose of that incarnation, friends, is the salvation of the human race. And Jesus, our elder brother, coming to rescue, to seek, and to save the lost. It's an amazing and astounding reality that the Trinitarian God for all eternity is now engaged on a daily basis in the pursuit of the salvation of human beings, of eternal souls. God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is a profound desire that comes from the heart of a loving Father. And Jesus, the faithful Son, our elder brother, comes in search of each and every one of the lost and offers salvation. Of course, we have to exercise our freedom toward it. We have to say yes to it. And to follow him means to repent and be baptized into him and into his church and walking with him as sons and daughters of God. That is, salvation is something that we receive, and it's on God's terms and how God defines it. It's receiving Jesus and the revelation of who he is, what he has done, how his diagnosis of the human condition, which means your condition and mine, that we receive it, understanding that Jesus himself and his death and his resurrection and being united to that reality is the only way human beings can ultimately be saved. Paul goes on, but now it is manifested to his holy ones. This is what is manifested. The mystery that's hidden from ages and generations past. God's plan for the salvation of the world. He said, but now it has been manifested to his holy ones. That is, those who've now come to receive the gospel, the good news about God, not just helpful information, but the good news of the person of Jesus and who he is and what he's accomplished. Paul goes on, he says, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Again, let me read the full sentence. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So there's a mouthful here. Paul is saying that the holy ones, those who have come to know Christ, have been baptized into Christ, are receiving the grace to grasp and to enter into and to live in the mystery. Okay, so what is the mystery that was manifested? God chose from all eternity, he'll say this in Ephesians, from the beginning of time, to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory. I've always loved this phrase. The glory is talking about the renown, the majesty, the awesomeness, the wonder of God. And the wonder here in this case of the action of this glorious God, of the only God, the only true God. And his glory is being revealed. And it's a mystery because this is not something we access on our own resources. It's not something we can grasp and that we can just come to a deduction by studying. It's something that God gives to us through the gospel, through the proclamation of the gospel and the life and the person of Jesus, who's the centerpiece of it all. He said, this mystery now among the Gentiles, which is this, and he summarizes it so beautifully here. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here's the essence, friends, of Christianity and why it's so important for us now to lean into the teaching of St. Paul here, who's elevating before us, communicating to us the supremacy and absolute uniqueness of Jesus, who literally is the incarnation of the mystery. He is the mystery, ultimately, and our being united to him is our being drawn into that. So Paul elevates the glory and majesty of Jesus. Jesus took human flesh, as I've said many times on the program. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself so that he could raise to glory fallen human nature by making it possible for human beings to become a new creation, to break free from the curse of sin and death and the curse of original sin that causes us to fall from glory, that is the relationship, the destiny we have to have, live in relationship with God. And as Peter would expound so beautiful, to become partakers of the divine nature, that happens only by God's action and our cooperating with God's action. That doesn't happen without Jesus coming in the flesh, becoming one of us, dealing with the sin problem and the death problem, and in his own person, taking human flesh from this fallen world into glory, into a whole new way of being and existing beyond death. So Paul is saying, that reality is happening in you. Well, how's that happening? Because Christ is in you. You've been baptized into Christ. Jesus said that to those who repent and are baptized, he comes to live in us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We become a new creation. That's what it means. It's not like we just get cleaned up outside and take a bath. We literally, friends, now become temples of the living God. It's Christ in you. And Christ has conquered everything here that stands in the way of ultimate, total human fulfillment, to literally enter into our ultimate destiny, which is to share in the very, in relationship with God, the glory of God. To be in full relationship with God, we had to be lifted up into glory, into the presence of God. We have been made capable of existing in the presence of the Holy God. And so Paul is rejoicing, and he's saying, this is exactly what your hope is. You can have confidence in your future because you're destined for glory. And that reality has already begun in you here and now. And then Paul says, it is him who we proclaim. This is the central proclamation of Christianity in the Catholic Church, friends. It's the proclamation is a person. It's the kingdom, and the kingdom is about the king. It's about what he's accomplished and who he is, and how human beings now can become participants in what he himself has literally brought about in his own person. Thanks be to God. Lord, we thank you for this amazing reality, this mystery, Christ in us, our hope of glory. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.